Today, on the first Sunday in Advent, we light the prophecy candle, the first of our four Advent candles. The prophecy candle is meant to remind us that God reveals himself. He reveals himself in his works, and most especially, he reveals himself in his word, so that we, as people of the book, that is, people of the word of God, we are assured that God has spoken. You know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it says that God at various times and in many ways spoke to the people of old by his servants, the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has made heir of all things. And so today, the first Advent candle, in preparation for the coming of the Nativity of the Lord, reminds us that we are people who have received from him divine revelation. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning at the first verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If we take a brief look into 2 Samuel, we learn in the 16th chapter, or the 15th chapter rather, that Absalom, the son of David, rebelled against his father and wanted to take the kingship from his father. And so he gathered an army, and David and his family and his retinue were forced to leave Jerusalem and to flee into exile. And the Bible tells us David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet. That's very important. And wept as he went up, and had his head covered, humiliation. And he went barefoot, shameful for a king. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up. So when David is forced to flee by the wickedness of his son Absalom, he goes up over Mount Olive and he flees down into the wilderness, where he hides until the calamity is overpassed. Notice that we have the true son of David, the Messiah, Jesus, coming to the Mount of Olives. And he goes to the village of Bethphage, which means house of figs. And it's on the side, the slope of the Mount of Olives. And it's there that the Lord Jesus procures the donkey that he will ride into Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecies of Zechariah and Isaiah. So, the Mount of Olives plays an important part in the Old Testament because it is the place where when David reached the summit, he prayed to God for deliverance and for protection and for help as he then fled into the wilderness. And now the Son of David, the Messiah, from the Mount of Olives, rides into Jerusalem proclaiming himself king. And he is doing this, and he is speaking to us through his triumphal entry to remind us that he is with us, that he comes to us, that he manifests himself to us, that he works on our behalf, that we are never forsaken, we are never abandoned. We are able to read this wonderful passage of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and rejoice. He will not leave me nor desert me. He is ever with me. He said to his whole church, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But it's interesting to take note that here, this entry begins at the Mount of Olives. Now, we have already seen how David went over the Mount of Olives fleeing into exile. And now we see Christ coming in. But we need to be reminded of several things. Number one, when Jesus came to Jerusalem on many occasions, he often spent the night on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. One of his favorite places to go was the Garden of Gethsemane, that is the Garden of the Olive Press. And so this was a regular place where Jesus and his disciples would camp out when they were visiting Jerusalem. Another thing to keep in mind is that the Lord Jesus suffered his agony of spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane. And after that, he was approached and taken into custody from the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. So the Mount of Olives is a prominent place for Christians to be thinking about Christ and his work and his blessings. One more thing that happened on the Mount, or two more things actually. During Holy Week, Jesus taught his disciples about the coming destruction of Jerusalem and about the end of the world and the second coming of Christ on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. All right, that's important to remember. So that, as a matter of fact, when you read books about the 24th chapter of Matthew, this chapter is always referred to as the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus taught them about the end of the world and the destruction of Jerusalem sitting on the Mount of Olives. One more thing. Jesus led his disciples out after his resurrection to the Mount of Olives. And from the Mount of Olives, he visibly ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. All right? So, The Mount of Olives is important here, and it is mentioned in our text to alert us to something that is very significant for the mission and ministry of Jesus concerning our redemption. And lastly, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, there is a prophecy about the coming of the Lord God to judge the world of unbelievers and to deliver those who trust in Him, to deliver the faithful flock, the faithful remnant, and to lead them away to a place of safety. And it says in Zechariah 14, "And His feet, the Lord's feet, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." So you see, this is important. That's why you should pay attention when you're reading the Bible. Pay attention to the details as you read, because you never know where you're going to find some significant stuff. And so right here, it just in our gospel lesson, it just mentions the Mount of Olives in passing. But it's very important that Jesus began His journey from the Mount of Olives, because it says, this is the one prophesied. This is the Son of David. He reverses the defeat of David by coming as the King of salvation. This is the one whom it was prophesied in the Old Testament that His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. So this shows us the divinity of Jesus, His humanity, His office as the Christ, the Son of God. It is a wonderful little detail that we must not let escape us. So, that's the first thing that we learn. The second prophecy that tells us about who Jesus is and what He brings us is found in Isaiah 62. In Isaiah 62, now what Matthew does is he takes Isaiah 62 and he takes Zechariah 9:9 and he mixes them together, because you know, in the days of the Bible, the scriptures did not have chapters and verses. Everything was on a scroll and everything was all bunched together. And so you couldn't say first turn to Zechariah 9 and then turn to Isaiah 62. You couldn't do that. So what you did was you made little snippets of these two different passages and you put them together so that the discerning reader would go, oh, that's interesting. He's referring to two different passages that I will have to look up and pay attention to. You see? And so, in Isaiah 62 verse 11, it says, "Behold, the Lord God hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him." And so what does this tell us about the Lord Jesus? It reminds us He is our salvation. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. So at the thought of the Lord Jesus coming to you, it is a thought of gracious coming. He comes with mercy, with salvation, with help, and He comes to befriend you, not to judge you and condemn you, but to befriend you. And He shows you this because it says His reward is with Him, His work is before Him. Jesus rides up into the city of Jerusalem, the climax of His entire public ministry. The public ministry, all His miracles, casting out devils, teaching the gospel, perfectly obeying the law on behalf of all sinners. All of his public ministry now is climaxed in Holy Week, in that week where Jesus comes to Jerusalem, does all of the things in Holy Week, and finally suffers, dies, and is buried for us. Thy salvation cometh unto thee. So rejoice that he comes. But the second passage which Matthew refers to is Zechariah chapter 9. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So you'll notice that Matthew quotes this briefly. And when you look it up in the book of Zechariah, there's a lot more information there. What Matthew wants to do in his gospel is draw your attention to Isaiah 62 and Zechariah 9 and essentially say, when you get a chance, look these up and study them. All right? That's the point. But notice that it says that we are to rejoice because your king comes to you. But unlike earthly kings, this, your true king, he is just. That is, he is righteous. He is sinless, righteous Son of God. But he is not righteous just for his own glorification. He is righteous so that he can impute to you his righteousness, and that you can call yourself the Lord our righteousness. You see, you and I are righteous before God because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, and we are covered with it like being covered in a beautiful robe that is bright and clean, covering our dirtiness. And so it is that in ourselves we are sinful and corrupt, but in Christ we are covered with his righteousness, which is imputed to us. So when it says that he is just, that's good news for us, because it means that his justice, his righteousness, is imputed to those who believe in him. It's also said of him that he has salvation. He was baptized in the Jordan River on our behalf. He lived a completely righteous life on our behalf. He overcame the temptation of the devil and the afflictions that the devil foisted upon people on our behalf. And then he suffered, died, was buried on our behalf. He has salvation, and that salvation is for us. It also says that Jesus comes in lowliness, riding upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus comes as the Savior King, not as the conquering king who is about to overthrow the true king and set himself up as the new Caesar. Not like that. He comes to be the king who shows his kingship by suffering death upon the cross. And so the glorification, the enthronement, if you will, of Jesus begins when he is crowned with thorns and nailed to the cross. All right, now, the The other thing that this passage teaches us as we look about it is, all right, we know now and are encouraged in who Jesus is and what does he bring to us. But now the other question that this text answers is, how is it that we rightly receive him and properly follow him? And there are two things mentioned here that we need to pay attention to. First of all, it says that when the disciples put Jesus on the colt and spread their garments, other people in the pilgrim band coming up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, all these people coming up from Galilee and from elsewhere, having heard about the miracles and teachings of Jesus, they were thrilled to be in company with him. And when he mounted upon that donkey and began to ride into Jerusalem, they gave him the red carpet treatment. That is, they took their cloaks off their backs and threw them in the road. And others who were not, they did not have cloaks upon them, they went over into the woods on the Mount of Olives, and they took branches from trees and put them in the road to give Jesus a royal highway into the city. By this action, they were confessing him before the world to be the true Messiah of Israel. And it says they did not stop there, but inspired by the Spirit of God, caught up in this moment of faith, they hearkened to the words of Psalm 118. And it says in Psalm 118, Hosanna to the Son of David. That means salvation to the Messiah. All right? Son of David means Messiah. And the word Hosanna in Hebrew is a word that literally means save us now. Save us now. And over time, it became a chant of salvation. Salvation. Right? So, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Messiah. We welcome you as our King and Messiah. Hosanna in the highest. That is salvation unto the tippity tops. All right? That's what they are saying, and they are shouting this over and over again. And the priests and the Levites and the Pharisees are scowling and disapproving as these people proclaim Jesus to be the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament. This is the Messiah. So what do we learn about this? You and I, as we live in this world, waiting for the coming of the kingdom of glory, we are privileged to be included by the Holy Spirit into the church of God. And as members of the church of Jesus Christ, we confess him before men. We take our stand upon the truth of Jesus Christ, and we say to an unbelieving world, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the first thing that we learn here about how to receive him and to follow him is to, in faith, confess him with your brothers and sisters in Christ before the world. The other thing here that we need to pay attention to about how to rightly receive Jesus and how to follow him is to, in faith, do what he says, trusting in his leading and care. You know, we've all had these experiences in life where we know that we should say something, or we should do something, but we feel kind of embarrassed, or we feel that something unpleasant is going to happen if we say something or do something. We know the Lord wants us to speak, or that the Lord wants us to act, but we're a little bit skittish about doing it because we'll draw attention to ourselves, or because it'll stir up something bad. We'll get in trouble somehow. You know how if, like, you say something about Christ to certain members of your family or your friends, they will get all petulant with you all of a sudden, and now you've ruined dinner. You've ruined dinner because you've talked about Jesus, right? You know how it is. And there are times when we know we ought to speak. We know we ought to do according to the word of God and not according to human reason and wisdom and human good works, but the works of the Lord that he has commanded. But we're reticent. Well, think about how the disciples felt. Jesus says, come here, boys. And they come over to him. Yeah. And he says, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over into this village here. And when you get there, you're going to see a donkey and a colt. I want you to loose them, untie them, and bring them to me. Oh, and if anybody says anything to you, just say this word. Just say, the Lord has need of them, and right away he will send them. So now the disciples, they are being asked to do something, trusting the word of Jesus. But it doesn't look like it's going to be fun. They are being asked to go into a village and grab somebody's Chevrolet and make off with it, right? I mean, the donkeys were the beasts of burden. They were, you needed them. They were like, you know, you're a bad person if you steal somebody's donkey, right? So Jesus goes in, it goes and tells them, you'll see these two animals, untie them and bring them to me. And so the disciples are walking into this town and they're looking at one another. We're going to get so arrested, you know. And, you know, their human reason is saying, this is not a good idea. You know, I wish he hadn't suggested that we do this, right? And, but they're going. And so they get there, they find the donkey and the colt, just the way Jesus said. And so they untie them and start going. Now, Matthew doesn't mention it, but Luke and Mark do mention the fact that somebody who lived at the house said, why are you untying the colt? Right? And then they said, the Lord has need of them. Is that right? That's the password, right? The Lord has need of them. And then the person goes, oh, all right. Right? And so they brought. Now this is a kind of a humorous thing here, but you got to realize that those disciples felt awkward. They felt uncomfortable, and they knew they could get in trouble. Somebody could make real trouble for them by doing this. But everything worked out in accordance with the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to remember. He has given us the words which we are to follow in our lives, not only to believe these words, but to act in accordance with them and leave the results up to him. All right? You know, somebody in your family might get ticked off that you mentioned Jesus again, or that you asked them, have you been to church lately? All right? And somebody might get ticked off. Let him be ticked off. They won't have time to be ticked off on the day of judgment when Jesus looks at them and says, "And who precisely are you?" Right? But I was a member of... You get what I'm talking about here. So we see the people doing two things. One is confessing him boldly before an unbelieving world. And the second thing is acting in accordance with the word of God, even when it seems awkward to do so. And so here today, we are comforted and encouraged by, number one, learning once again just who this Jesus is and what he brings to us. And then we learn also, how do we rightly receive him and how do we follow him? And so today, God add his blessing to his holy word. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.